Welcome to another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast, a production of the Criminal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School in Charlottesville, Virginia. Every 2 weeks, we release a new episode. Today, we're going to have a conversation about a recent opinion from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Please note that these episodes may contain facts and circumstances surrounding criminal trials. Listener discretion is advised.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable United States Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces is now open and in session. God save the United States of America in this honorable court.
Welcome back to CAF Chats. I'm Major Michael Barrett, and today I'm joined by Major Lauren Welk. We're both new faculty members here in the Criminal Law Department and joined this summer following the graduate degree program. Lauren, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, but yeah.
Okay.
I made that awkward, right? Just wait. Spoiler alert to the audience. Those three filler words, but yeah, kept appellate practitioners busy and divided the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces judges 3-2 in the case of United States First Cadet Jorge A. Hurtado.
Before we get into our CAF chat, I also want to introduce our special guest, Satchel Breyer. Satchel is from San Diego and is a rising 2L at the University of San Diego. He's a summer intern here at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. How have you been enjoying your summer at TJAGLEC so far?
I've loved every minute of it. The work has been super engaging, whether it's workshops, mock trial work, legal research. I've loved every minute.
That's great. Today, we will be discussing the recent CAF decision in United States versus Cadet Jorge A. Hurtado, case number 250212, out of the Army. Satchel, can you get us started with the facts of the case?
Sure. Hurtado, a cadet at the United States Military Academy, was charged with 10 specifications of abusive sexual contact, 2 specifications of sexual assault, and 1 specification of indecent exposure in violation of Article 120 and Article 120 Charlie of the UCMJ.
That's a lot of specifications.
That's certainly right, sir. However, the focus of the appeal centers around 13 words during the rights advisement portion of his CID interview. On January 23, 2024, Hurtado was brought into CID for questioning. The special agent asked Hurtado if he had ever requested a lawyer after being read his rights. Hurtado replied, quote, "No, this is the first time." The special agent next asked, "Do you want a lawyer at this time?" To which Hurtado responded, and these are the now infamous words, "I mean, I would like to speak to a lawyer, but, yeah." The special agent replied, "Okay," before reasking, quote, "So you want a lawyer at this time?" The special agent then explained to Hurtado what the process would be if he invoked his right to counsel. Hurtado responded with, quote, "I want to know what I'm here for first." Hurtado ultimately made various admissions to the charged offenses.
Wow. So I'm guessing Hurtado's defense counsel filed a motion to suppress those statements at trial?
Yes, ma'am. The defense argued that CID investigators failed to respect Cadet Hurtado's invocation of his right to legal counsel when he said, quote, "I mean, I would like to speak to a lawyer, but yeah." The military judge granted Hurtado's motion and suppressed the statements. The government appealed the military judge's decision to the Army Court of Criminal Appeals pursuant to Article 62 of the UCMJ.
What did the Army Court of Criminal Appeals say?
The ACCA held that the word "but" at the end of the statement was inherently equivocal. The court found that when Hurtado said that he would like to speak to a lawyer, followed immediately with the word "but," that three-letter word introduced doubt as to what he intended. Since Hurtado's statement was equivocal, the special agent was free to continue with her questions.
Okay. ACCA grants the government's appeal, concluding that Hurtado did not unequivocally invoke his right to counsel. What happens next?
Cadet Hurtado requested reconsideration by ACCA en banc, but ACCA denied that request. Hurtado then appealed to the CAF.
Did the CAF agree with ACCA?
No. CAF sided with the trial judge and found Hurtado unequivocally invoked his right to counsel.
Great. So let's dig into that. The CAF granted review to determine whether the trial judge abused his discretion in concluding that the appellant's statement, "I would like to speak to a lawyer, but yeah," was an unequivocal invocation of his right to counsel.
Yes. The lens through which the CAF is reviewing this is important. Under the abuse of discretion standard, the appellate court reviews questions of law de novo, and whether Hurtado invoked his right to counsel is a question of law. When it comes to questions of fact, the appellate court won't disturb a military judge's findings of fact unless they are clearly erroneous or unsupported by the record. That's the baseline.
Judge Sparks, who authored the CAF majority opinion, leans into Edwards versus Arizona and Davis versus United States, two Supreme Court cases. As a refresher to practitioners out there, Edwards holds that if a suspect invokes his right to counsel, law enforcement must immediately cease questioning him until an attorney is present. Davis clarifies that the invocation of a right to counsel made by a suspect must be unambiguous. However, if the statement is ambiguous, then law enforcement does not have to stop questioning a suspect.
Right. The Davis decision put the responsibility on the suspect or the accused to clearly articulate a desire for an attorney. If the accused attempts to hedge the question, "Do you want a lawyer at this time?" with a maybe or a "I should probably," law enforcement is welcome to ask clarifying questions. The rule is the suspect must articulate his or her desire to have counsel present sufficiently clearly that a reasonable police officer in the circumstances would understand the statement to be a request for an attorney. So with that objective test in mind, how did Judge Sparks handle Hurtado's response of, "I would like to speak to a lawyer, but yeah."
Here, Judge Sparks considered whether the words, "but yeah," negated the statement, "I would like to speak with a lawyer." He said no. He reasoned that "but are nothing more than filler words, especially when considered in the context of a stressful interrogation with CID. Ending with an affirmative "yeah" also didn't change the meaning of "I would like to speak with a lawyer." If anything, it made the request more concrete. Ultimately, the majority concluded that any reasonable police officer would have interpreted Hurtado's statement to be an affirmative request for a lawyer. Because his statements were unambiguous, Edwards required CID to stop questioning Hurtado. Applying its de novo review to the military judge's legal conclusion, the CAF found no error.
We can't end the discussion there, though, can we? The dissent came in hot. Judge Olson starts by saying Hurtado changes his mind twice in the same sentence. That in itself is the opposite of unequivocal and unambiguous. The dissent focuses on Davis and that the law required Hurtado to clearly assert his desire to speak with a lawyer. Otherwise, law enforcement has no obligation to stop questioning him.
Yes, the dissent disagrees with the majority's conclusion that "but were filler words. Instead, they argue Hurtado's use of "but" necessarily raises the question, "but what?" Judge Olson compares what happened in Davis to what happened in the CID office at West Point. In Davis, the statement, "maybe I should talk to a lawyer," was deemed not unequivocal. Here, the dissent argues the word "but" similarly injected doubt into Hurtado's statement, opening the door for the special agent to ask clarifying questions.
The dissent also disagrees with the weight the majority gave to the phrase, yeah, arguing it could be a prior expression of a desire for a lawyer, or it could be Hurtado affirming the word "but," or it could have no value at all. That's the dissent's point. It's ambiguous. And under Davis, a statement is either an assertion of the right to counsel or it's not. Judge Olson asks us to look at the mental gymnastics the three judges of the ACCA and two judges on CAF had to do to figure out what Hurtado meant. Therefore, it was reasonable for the special agent to ask clarifying questions.
The dissent goes farther and says that even if Hurtado did unambiguously invoke his right to counsel, he relinquished that right when he said he wanted to know what I'm here for first, and then proceeded to talk to law enforcement. Basically, the protection afforded by Edwards and Davis is not absolute. If an accused decides on their own to continue speaking with investigators, they relinquish those protections.
Ma'am, what should practitioners take away from this case?
I think this case is a huge win for the defense bar, and it also adds an important lift. The rights advisal and subsequent waiver, or lack thereof, was always ripe for a motion to suppress. However, prior to Hurtado, certain filler words might have skewed a practitioner's analysis, that you may have had a good faith basis not to file a motion to suppress based on then existing law because your client's request for a lawyer was a little wishy-washy. Now, a defense counsel has more wiggle room to argue their client's request for a lawyer was unambiguous. It'll be key to determine the exact words a client says to law enforcement. The more in line with the facts of Hurtado, the better.
Thank you, Lauren and Satchel, and thank you all for joining us for another episode of CAF Chats. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast. If anything you heard sparked a thought, we'd love to connect with you. Your comments help us create better future content for the field or the fleet. Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode. The views expressed in today's podcast are those of the presenters and not necessarily the Judge Advocate General, the Department of the Army, or the Department of Defense.
Thanks, counsel, for both sides. And the court will stand in recess until further order of the court.